So today, if you can't tell, we're going to be talking about comfort zones. Comfort zones. Let me give you some definition, because I thought this is kind of an intangible thing, but you know when you're not in it, right? You don't think about it until you're not in it. All right. So Merriam-Webster tells us, is a level at which one functions with ease and familiarity. We all like that. The Cambridge Dictionary says it's a situation in which you feel comfortable and in which your ability and determination are not being tested. We all like that. All right. I wasn't going to go with the Wikipedia thing, but what the heck? We're here. It's my week. All right. Wikipedia says it's a psychological state in which things feel familiar to a person and they are at ease and in control of their environment. Yeah, right. Experiencing low levels of anxiety and stress. Some people are thinking, I'm never in my comfort zone then. Stepping out of a comfort zone raises anxiety and generates a stress response. And this results in an enhanced level of concentration and focus, which is a good thing. So, simply put, stepping out of your comfort zone means doing things that are uncomfortable. I'm going to share some of my own comfort zone stories. I'm going to try not to get lost in this because it really doesn't matter if I share them or not, but we're going to do it. First comfort zone thing, and this is just because I heard somebody say this once. I heard a Navy SEAL being interviewed, and it was a leadership podcast, and he said, I like to do something every day that sucks. That was his words. And I'm like, why would you want to do that? And the thing that he's referencing was taking an ice cold shower. I'm like, wow, that sounds horrible. But it's basically, I don't remember the whole conversation, but I thought, that is insane. I can't even stand when somebody's using water somewhere else in the house and my shower gets a little bit cold. I freak out and start beating on the wall. Well, lo and behold, I've heard this thrown around in different circles. And I thought, you know what? This is so insane. But the benefits, I just can't deny. These must work if everybody's saying the same stuff. So guess what? I stepped out of my comfort zone, and I went all the way to cold. 56 degrees. And it sucks. I agree with the Navy SEAL. It absolutely sucked. But actually, I've been doing it for a week now, or a week or two, and it's actually quite amazing. So if you look, just Google it. 8 out of 10 of you will have tried that by next Sunday if you Google it and look at it. I guarantee it. That's all I'm saying about it. Anyways, another comfort zone story. I don't know if I've ever shared with Pastor Chad. He probably knows me and he figured it out. But a couple years ago, he bought us a birthday gift, a guided steelhead trip on Pierre Marquette River up in Baldwin, Michigan, world-renowned steelhead river. Super not comfortable for me. Like, I have this thing where I'm afraid of the new. I'm afraid of looking stupid. I'm afraid of not knowing what I'm doing. I get really, my mind just goes freaky. And maybe I'm sure I'm not alone with that. But anyways, we get in there. I'm not going to go into it, but, oh, man. It was crazy. But I think this guy is like, you know, guides are a different breed of people. They're pretty cool. We had a very, very good one. Anyways, so I haven't fished this way before. There's like 10 feet of line with 3 or 4 things hanging off of it. And he's like, we get in our first spot, and he's like, okay, I want you to put this right there. Don't go up to this little bush or over there. Right there. I'm like, I've got to get 10 feet of this stuff in a pocket this big. I'm thinking, this is blowing my mind. So anyway, I think the first cast I made, the reel fell off. And I'm like, I mean, this is like, that's not my fault, by the way. That's the guide's fault. He didn't tighten it on. But, I mean, you know, we're using $1,500 conservatively gear here. And it's like, it's funny. It's like, I was facing it afraid. What am I going to do? Turn down a gift? But happy ending. I landed my first steelhead. So, hey. Okay, now to get spiritual. Actually, quite a long time ago, probably a good 17 plus years ago, I was in Tennessee, and my wife and I were at, my brother owns a custom jewelry store in Tennessee, and we were there one afternoon, and there was a Panera Bread next door, and there was a boy, I'd say, you know, whatever, 10, 12 years old, somewhere in there, but in a wheelchair. And whatever it was like this compassion came over me. And I thought, I mean, it hit me out of nowhere. I just glanced over and looked at him. I don't know if I was in the restaurant at the time or not. Because I think you could see in it from the sidewalk or something. Anyways, compassion came over me for this person. And I saw that the mother, caregiver, whatever, was right there. And I told my wife, I was like, I can't, this won't leave. And I went into my brother's store bathroom and just like broke down. I was weeping. I was like, it was crazy. And it's like I knew I was supposed to go ask if I could pray for this person. And so how many knows that was, it was uncomfortable, but I couldn't, it was like I couldn't shake it. To my knowledge, I had never done something like that before, or stepped out of that before. So I faced it, and I went in there, and I didn't, you know, I believe in being polite, not being weird. And but I approached the mother, and I said, ma'am, I was like, you know, please forgive me for interrupting, but I said, you know, may I pray for your, is this your son or whatever, and may pray for him. And she said, no, absolutely not, or something. Like, it was pretty stern. I was like, whoa. Like, I just said, I'm sorry for interrupting. I was like, apologize. I was like, have a great day. And I thought, what was that all about? And I was so confused by that. And, but this just overwhelming compassion. And you probably thought that was going to end up happy, didn't you? And I don't know what that moment did, other than it stretched me. And since that time, there's been numerous occasions where God has placed on my heart, I want you to pray for this person. I want you to pray for this person. It's been people at work, here and there. It's been people that just during everyday life, and it's not like I visit a store once a week and this happens, but I believe that God was stretching me and seeing if I was going to be obedient to step out and to represent him and to reach out. And because Jesus was moved with compassion all the time. And so I did that. And again, it's one of those moments where I was like, at that time I was confused. Like, what? I really thought this was a setup for something major. But it was me being stretched and moved out of my comfort zone. That's one thing for sure I know. And in the last thing, the church I went to before this, I had been with the pastors, were our mentors for quite a long time, and I think it was just maybe a week or two prior to where I started, the Lord started just dealing with me on some things that I was totally sideswiped by, but I think just I had done a message and about serving and whatever, and my mind was made up. Like, I'm like, I'm going to be here forever. I'm going to be at this church forever. I'm totally cool with that. And within a couple of weeks, Pastor Chad was just sharing with me out on a river about what God, a vision for Charis New Testament Church, God put on his heart. And never in a million years did it cross my mind I'd be stepping out. But within the next month, there was this churning inside. And I'm like, what is this? And I'm One of my weaknesses, I've admitted this before, but I'm a people pleaser. I don't like saying no. I don't like upsetting people. But I'll tell you, and so, you know, that's what part of my mental battle was, how do I say this to people that, you know, have poured so much into my life? This is crazy. But again, I look back at that, and that was me being moved out of a comfort zone. Are you going to follow me? Are you going to follow the leading of the Holy Spirit? Or just stay where you're at because you don't want to upset somebody? And, you know, we left on good terms and everything was fine. But since God has, you know, brought me into Charis New Testament Church, in my life spiritually, I've never been stretched as much as I've been stretched here. And it was a good thing. I look back, I just think it was moving me out of my comfort zone. But you know, I just mentioned that, you know, one of my comfort zones is I'm comfortable when everybody's happy. People pleaser. New things, new adventures. I'm not a very adventurous person. It usually takes somebody else. God will typically use other people to pull you out of comfort zones. And I'm not a very adventurous person, but I love when somebody else pulls me into an adventure. And I think Pastor Chad's had the most influence in that area. But we all face that challenge, don't we? The comfort zone challenge, being moved out. And we all like the familiar. The thing is, one person's comfort zone is another person's nightmare. We don't all have the same comfort zones. So it's not like a formula I can throw out there. We all have our own areas of comfort. You know, maybe it's maybe your comfort zone looks like, I'm comfortable with my four and no more. I don't want to go beyond this. And that's really, if I don't watch it, that's where I am a lot. I think about, I got enough to take care of with my kids and figuring this whole family thing out. But that's an area of comfort zone that we like to stay in. And I heard somebody say that the longer life goes on, when you don't move out of your comfort zones, they start growing smaller. And you start turning inside. And I thought that was very true. And I actually I visited with somebody recently, and I started just thinking about their life. And I saw that, I just reflecting on it, not that I know the ins and outs of their whole life, but I saw that. They're well up in age now, but I saw how small things became and how small their world was. And I thought, I don't want that story. I want my life to keep it expanding. I want the ripple to go well beyond just my four and no more. But you know, I thought about where I work. I'm like, have I been in a comfort zone of work for I just passed 24 years? It's like, it's very comfortable. I'm familiar with it. I know everybody. I know my job day to day. Now there has been moments of stretching, but you know, once in a while, I will hear a voice calling me from outside my comfort zone, and it keeps coming back around. And I won't go into that, but when I think about comfort zones and the Bible is full of people, God pulling people out of their comfort zones, and the one person I think about a lot, and the first time I heard a message on Gideon, I thought, wow, this is crazy. This is a cool story. And the guy did a really, really good job. And so I think about him most of all, that he was pulled out of his comfort zone to help Israel. And I'll try to do this. I'm actually, ironically, this is kind of out of my comfort zone, going through an account like this. So bear with me, but I'm just going to paraphrase a lot of the story of Gideon. It takes place only in over a couple chapters, Judges like 6 through 8, I believe. So God handed over Israel to the Midianites for like 7 years. Okay? I'm going through the Old Testament right now, man. Israel, I started going down that thinking, like, how many times these guys got to screw up to learn their lesson? And I'm like, then I go look in the mirror. Oh, that's right. Sorry. I take it back. So, anyways. So the Midianites had Israel hiding out. They had these guys freaking out. Israel was hiding in mountains. They were hiding in caves. They were hiding in fortresses. The Midianites were jerks. And they'd come in, the Midianites would set up camp, and they'd destroy all Israel's crops. They'd steal their sheep, they'd steal their goats, all their animals. They'd strip everything bare, okay? So Israel was starving, and finally they're like they always did, God, help us. They basically just cried out to God. So angel of the Lord came in, found Gideon hiding in a wine press, threshing wheat, hiding out from the Midianites like probably everybody else was. And the angel of the Lord addressed him in a way that was very weird, odd to him. He said, God is with you, mighty man of valor. He spoke this to Gideon, who was hiding in a winepress threshing wheat. That word valor means strength, ability, might, force. And Gideon responds to him, who, me? Well, if he is with us, why is all this stuff happening? He questioned the angel of the Lord. In Judges 6:14-16 says, but God faced him directly. Go in this strength that is yours. Save Israel from Midian. Haven't I just sent you? And Gideon said to him, me, my master, how, with what, could I ever save Israel? Look at me. My clan's the weakest in Manasseh, and I'm the runt of the litter. God said to him, I'll be with you. Believe me, you'll defeat Midian as one man. How many knows if God calls you something? That's the truth. Regardless of how you see yourself. So, just to make sure, Gideon asked for a sign. Not that it was enough already. The angel of the Lord of God, he basically torched dinner on a rock. Fire came out of this rock and just fried all this food that Gideon had prepared, and it was a lot. So, Gideon figured out, oh, this is an angel of the Lord. I'm dead. Well, the angel calmed down, basically said, just calm down. I'm not going to kill you. So God told Gideon to take his dad's best bull, I think he was a 7-year bull, and make an altar for him and offer it after he tore down his dad's altar to Baal. And he cut down it was like a pole for, it was a Canaanite goddess. It usually was next to an altar, another false god altar. He said, use that pole for the firewood for this altar you're going to make for God, the true God, and offer this bull on. So, of course, he did it at night so he wouldn't get caught with 10 buddies. And, it's a little sketchy. He wasn't fully sure this was the angel of God. So people found out, like you'd figure, and his dad basically said, the townspeople wanted to kill him for tearing down this altar to Baal and using the pole for firewood. And his dad basically told everybody, hey, back off, let Baal fight his own battles. Let him defend himself. So he got out of that one. So God's spirit came on Gideon, and then Gideon rounded up an army. And then he requested, of course, just to make sure I'm doing the right thing, I need 2 more signs. So, and by the way, we're not in the age of signs, asking for signs. We're to be led by the Holy Spirit, in case this gives anybody ideas. So, one sign he asked for was, okay, when the dew falls, I got this fleece out. I want the fleece to be dry and the ground to be wet. And he's like, all right, one more time. One more time, one more time. Just to really make sure I want the opposite to happen, vice versa. Fleece to be wet, ground to be dry. So, of course, it happened. All right? So, Judges 7, 2 through 3, the Lord then said to Gideon, after he collected this army of people, he said, there's too many of you. I can't let all of you fight the Midianites. But then the people of Israel will boast to me that they save themselves by their own strength. Send home any of your men who are timid and frightened. That would have been an interesting moment. So when he did, hey, anybody want to go home? If you're scared, you can go. Go ahead. God said you can go. 22,000 people. Only 10,000 remained who were willing to fight. 22,000 people left. Two-thirds, basically, of this army. How many knows that that would be uncomfortable? Oh, God thought, hey, still too many. So, Judges 7, 4 through 7, 4 and 7. God said to Gideon, there are still too many. Take them down to the stream, and I'll make a final cut. When I say this one goes with you, he'll go. When I say this one doesn't go, he won't go. So Gideon took the troops down to the stream. God said to Gideon, I'll use the 300 men who lapped at the stream to save you and give Midian into your hands. All the rest may go home. And it was basically a selection of everybody went down to the water, people who got on their hands and knees and basically threw their face in the water to drink versus guys that picked up the water with their hand and lapped it out of their own hand. It's probably, those are the keen, sharp guys always able to look around and see what's going on. They were the elite forces back then. So 300 guys. I thought 10,000 wasn't much. So how many knows that he's out of a comfort zone right now with 300 guys? All right. So God tells Gideon, get up and go. This is my words, but God said, Gideon, if you want more warm fuzzies, because you seem to have issues trusting what I'm telling you to do, take your armor bearer and go and listen to what they're saying about you. They're having dreams of demise over their own army, loaves of bread falling down and crushing everything. That's Israel. It was symbolic of Israel coming in and basically kicking butt. So Gideon went, took his armor bearer, listened in. The Midianites were, somebody had a dream. Loaf of bread came down, crushed everything, freaking out. So Gideon's like, I'm convinced. Let's do this. So he goes in and he assumes the position. They take all the 300 people, and I guess the Midianites, there was references that they looked like locusts. There were so many of them. There was just like innumerable. It was crazy how many of these people are, which would freak you out. I'll throw out a number here at the end. But so they divided in three groups, and they had trumpets. They had pitchers, pots. And when the trumpets were blown, pitchers were broken at night, and they shouted, the sword of the Lord and of Gideon. All the Midianites in their camp started killing each other. So that'd be fun to watch, right? Wouldn't break a sweat. So the ones who didn't kill each other, those guys took for the mountains or something. They just started fleeing. They just took off. So Gideon chased them down, got some help from men of a place, Ephraim, who these people from Ephraim, they actually, there was a little misunderstanding. They were a little angry at Gideon because he didn't give them a heads up like this was all going down. And Gideon was like, no, what did I do? I'm like, you guys just killed their commanders, two of them. That's awesome. You guys are awesome. They're like, okay. So everything was chilled out between Ephraim and Gideon. So he was a good talker. So Gideon was chasing down the two kings. There was two kings. And he wanted to basically take these guys out. Well, he stopped. His army was, all 300 of them, were, you know, they were tired from chasing all these other guys down that took off and didn't kill each other. So there's a place, Succoth, I think, in Peniel. So they stopped at these place, Succoth, and they're like, hey, we're after these two kings. We're going to kill them totally. But we're hungry, thirsty. Can you hook us up? And they're like, no, you don't have king. I don't see kings anywhere. I don't see that you have kings. So, no. All of a sudden, Gideon was obviously out of his comfort zone. He says, again, I'll paraphrase this, but basically, he's like, your butts are mine when I get back. Like, I hope you like your skin, because I'm going to rip it off with thorns and briars and such. So he threatens their lives. It's like, when we come back with the kings after they're dead, you're in trouble. So he's officially out of his, I love this. I wish there was a movie about this. But he, very funny moment, how you go from a guy that's hiding in a wine press to like threatening people. Like, it's a night and day thing. And I just think that's so cool. So he goes, the people of Succoth, same deal. He stops this place, says, hey, the other guys wouldn't give us anything. We won't worry about them. But will you hook us up with some food and drink? And they're like, no. Gideon's like, all right, when I come back after killing these kings, I'm going to knock your stupid tower down. And he also killed 70 people, men, in their town. So finally, he caught these kings, these guys, and he actually wanted, said, he told his son, his oldest son, who was, they didn't say his age, but I got to believe he was less than 13. But he said, kill him, like these two kings. And his son was, it said his son was afraid. I wonder where he got that from. But Gideon killed these two kings. Came back, knocked towers down in the one place, gathered up 70 of the men of this town of Succoth, or were Peniel, I can't remember which one, and killed these guys. Went back, whipped the first guys that wouldn't give them something to eat with briars and such. So the guy that was scared, hiding in a wine press, threshing wheat, is now fully out of his comfort zone. And there was like 120,000 Midianites that were killed. Do the math. I mean, granted, they did kill a lot of themselves, but isn't that interesting? 120, that had to look like an unbearable feat. Like, how do you do this? But despite all the signs that Gideon asked for, God called him out of his comfort zone. And before he called him out of his comfort zone, he declared who he was, who God saw him to be, a mighty man of valor. A mighty man of valor. And finally, I believe he saw this. And Israel experienced 40 years of peace because of this, because of Gideon agreeing to step out of this comfort zone. He saw, you know, he said, I'm the run of the litter of all the people. Why in the world would you pick me? But God sees differently than man sees, right? I've heard this thrown around. Nothing great ever happens in a comfort zone. I would believe that. I believe that's a true statement. Like the illustration I like the best, I was going to bring one for a prop, show you how good I was. But a rubber band, the further you want a rubber band to go, the further you have to stretch it, right? So to be stretched is just another way to say being moved or pulled out or pushed out of your comfort zone. And that's what I've been, that's been kind of like the prayer in my heart for myself as God, move me beyond me. It's not about us. It's not about us four, no more. We know that. It's so just cliche. But God has people assigned to your lives that he wants to reach. He wants them to see his glory in you. Just like Pastor Chad shared, those rivers of living water flowing from our inmost being, out of our bellies flow rivers of living water. And God wants us not to be so turned into ourselves, but he wants us to step out of that comfort zone. And I pray, Holy Spirit, stretch me. Well, we're to be led by the Holy Spirit, but I've given him permission. If I won't move out of this, get behind me and push. Push me out of the comfort zone if I'm guilty of hanging out in there. And the person we want to be in this life does not live in a comfort zone. God's will for our lives, God's plans and his purposes for our lives are outside of our comfort zone. The reality, the simplest way to say it, is a life outside of our comfort zone is the life of faith. The just will live by faith. We walk by faith and not by sight. And faith is just, we've heard it defined here numerous times, it's complete and total and utter reliance on God. His ability, his love for us. He held nothing back. And it's just complete, pure, unabandoned trust in him with our lives, stepping out and doing what he's called us to do. That's really what living outside of our comfort zone is all about. Our complete and total reliance and trust on God. He didn't withhold his best. He won't withhold anything else from us. So God is always calling us outside of our comfort zones. A couple things in the Bible, scripture references here. He asks us to give when it doesn't make sense. He has to pray for us to pray for people who are complete jerks. He asks us to forgive people who've wronged us. He asked us to go 2 miles if somebody asks you to go one. Like, all of these things are stretching us and pulling us outside. They're uncomfortable. I don't want to forgive somebody who wronged me. They don't deserve it. And if you, a lot of us, I would say most of us, saw the movie The Shack, and there was a great picture of that. And we saw the unraveling of that whole thing. And how we want to be God, how we want to be the judge, how we want to determine what's right and what's wrong and who should go free and who should remain in a prison. We want to keep them in that prison. And the problem is we're the ones in that prison and we won't forgive. But all of these things are uncomfortable and they stretch us and our minds can't handle it. It doesn't make sense to give when I'm already lacking, God. But his word is true. I mean, I've been there. I know the right thing to do, and I know the comfortable thing to do. And a lot of times, the right thing is not very comfortable. And the reality of it is, comfort zones are expanded through discomfort. And there's numerous illustrations I can use from that, but let's read Philippians 4:13. I can do all things which he has called me to do through him who strengthens and empowers me to fulfill his purpose. I am self-sufficient in Christ's sufficiency. I am ready for anything and equal to anything through him who infuses me with inner strength and confident peace. So, our comfort zone is all about really us trusting in our own abilities a lot of times, relying on our own strength, stepping outside of our comfort zone, stepping outside and walking by faith is really putting your trust in God's ability in you. and total reliance. In those areas where you are weak, he is strong. That's what it's all about. Romans 8:31 says, if God is for us, who can be against us? And I think Gideon got a good picture of that. He saw that God was for him. And I think absolute fearlessness came into his life when he stepped outside of that comfort zone. Romans 8:37 tells us, we are more than conquerors through him who loved us. More than conquerors. I heard somebody illustrate that more than conquerors was like when you have this heavyweight fighter go in and just picture Rocky, for lack of a better way to picture it, but, you know, he gets his face beat in and he ends up conquering in the end, but he looks like he got run over by a Mack truck. Well, Adrian was more than a conqueror because she got the prize money. She didn't have to do anything. Rocky fought the fight, and she reaped the benefits of that. And Jesus fought the fight, and we reaped the benefits. Does that mean we don't have to fight? We fight the good fight of faith, the Bible says. But Jesus accomplished it all. He stripped Satan of his power, his ability, his rights to us. He gave us the keys. And he came and lived inside of us. And we have this. Gideon had the Spirit. It said the Spirit of the Lord came upon Gideon. We have the Spirit of the Lord inside of us. And he'll never leave us. And he'll never forsake us. 1 John 4:4 tells us that greater is he who is in us than he that is in the world. And when we wrap our head around that, when we receive revelation of that, that should catapult us. That should thrust us out of any comfort zone that we've been living in. God is in us. Is God limited? There are no limits. What God can do with someone who is willing to step out and get beyond themselves and trust him completely. Just imagine. Get uncomfortable. Get uncomfortable with what you may have been comfortable with your whole life. Think outside of yourself. If you have been, everybody is guilty of this. I mean, I've said it so many times, but, you know, when there's a message that I believe God's placed on my heart to share, it's usually big time, big time, big time for me. And I'm just sharing with you what God is dealing with me. So I challenge you, like I opened up a little bit with that Navy SEAL guy who said he likes to do one thing that every day that's very, very uncomfortable. And again, this is everybody's got their own comfort zones. I can't tell you what to do. I can't give you a list and say, okay, go ahead and when you get home, I want you to do this every day. You figure it out. I just jotted some things down that make me uncomfortable. So I'm going to share them with you. So, I mean, a natural thing I do every day now is take a good. It's only the last few minutes of the shower. I take a normal shower. But anyway, smile. I purposely don't smile at somebody at work all the time because I'm an open book. I'm sorry. But if I'm just in cruise control, not thinking, I don't like to make eye contact. I don't like them to approach me, and I don't want to smile to make them think they can approach me. Am I a jerk? I'm sorry. Am I being too real? No. But guess what? God has corrected me numerous times. But maybe that's stepping outside my comfort zone. This individual is as a person who absolutely loves wants and thrives on attention. And truth be told, I want nothing to do with that. I run the other way. And I can be a jerk. But I'm not a jerk. I'm just, you know, I kind of lay low. It's like an under the radar kind of thing. But anyway, so guess what? I stepped out of my comfort zone. I've worked with this person forever, okay? It's not like we get along fine. It's just I try to avoid certain things. Well, the other day, this individual, she's a woman. She did her hair. It actually looked nice. I thought, where are you going? A wedding, I'm thinking. But anyways, I walked by and I just had this voice. I wonder who that could be. And I believe it was the Holy Spirit of the Lord. So you should just tell her hair looks nice. And I'm thinking, I don't want to tell her hair looks nice. Because I don't want to know why it looks nice, and I want to know where she's going, and I don't want a conversation. So I'm at my desk, and I look over, and I was like, hey, your hair looks really nice today. And all she did was say, thank you. That was it. Stepping out of your comfort zone isn't about doing something, isn't about taking on 120,000 Midianites. It could be something as little as that. Baby steps, okay? Baby steps. Forgive. That's a very, very uncomfortable thing to choose to do. And that's a choice. Forgiving is a choice. It's not about your feelings. It's not about your emotions. You are taking away your hands from around somebody's neck, basically. You're giving them and the situation to God. I've had to face that in my life. And that was horrible. But once you step out on obedience and you release that person, there's a healing that comes to your heart that I can't explain. And the situation is exponentially, infinitely beyond all I could ask or think from that moment. Maybe it's praying for somebody who's a jerk to you. God says to bless those who spitefully use us. It's always the opposite, isn't it? That's love. That's love. That's God's love. Maybe it's giving till it hurts. Maybe it's trusting God with what you have. Maybe it's trusting God with your finances. I don't know. Maybe just be obedient. Whatever that means. Again, I'm not going to sit up here and give you whatever. And I have down here, I already went ahead of myself, but being kind to someone that maybe you don't like. But you know what? The same person I kind of jokingly went a little too far with. You know, God gave me a dream about this person years ago. And it was an amazing dream. God has led me to pray with this person. And for just scary moments in their life. Maybe once, maybe twice. But God revealed to me this moment. And I still hold that in my heart, and I believe that this person's eyes will be open to the goodness of God. That is a prayer in my heart, that she would come to know the love of Jesus. And I saw that in this dream I had. Now, God's love is in us, and God's love is in me toward this person in reality. And it's somebody who just has a whirlwind of drama in their life. You know, it's understatement. But God loved. You know, God loves the world. He said it. No matter what who we like or don't like, He gave Jesus for people who he knew were going to reject Jesus, he still paid their price. He still loves them. And that's amazing. So think about this. I mean, if there's two things. You have a comfort zone. I didn't have to tell you that. But get out of it. Get out of your comfort zone. Maybe don't ask, well, what do I need to do? Here's a better question. Who do I want to be? And I want to be everything God has called me to be. And that's not inside of my comfort zone. You have what it takes because you have who it takes. He lives in you. The Spirit of God, the same Spirit that raised Jesus from the dead, dwells in us. And he makes alive our mortal bodies. And when we know who we are in Christ, it's laughable, the limits that we put on ourselves, the limits that other people put on us. It's laughable. The greater one lives in you. Face that in your life. Don't bow to the confines of a comfort zone, but move out. And like I pray, Holy Spirit, stretch me. Stretch me, get behind me, push me, kick me out. Hide my comfort zone somewhere else. I don't know. But nothing great ever happens there. He's called us to a life of faith and complete reliance on him. And that's the most adventurous, exciting life we can have, is joining up with his plans and purposes for our life. Just imagine if we all refused to live in our comfort zone and all just unabandonedly went nuts with our full reliance on Jesus. Do with me what you will, Lord. Amen? That's all I have to say. It might have been simple, but again, this is just something that God's been stirring in me, pulling me out, and God loves to pull people out of their comfort zones. I mean, from Abram to, you say, Gideon, the disciples, leave your jobs and come and follow me. How many knows that things got exciting when those disciples started following Jesus? But that's what he wants. It's an adventure, a great adventure, and it's only within Christ that we can experience that great adventure. Amen? Let's close. Father, we just thank you so much for calling us. As Pastor Chad reminded us, before the foundation of the world. Oh, Lord, how great your love is for us and how ridiculous sometimes it seems, how limiting we are in our own mind. We would think that you would withhold anything from us, or why would fear come? Why would we allow fear to come in when the one who obliterated sin's chains in our life and released us from the enemy's grasp and displayed love on a cross, gave it all for us? You are for us. Who could be against us? May we wake up, Lord. Wake us up to who we are in Christ Jesus, more than conquerors, and realizing, walking around in this beautiful earth that you've created, knowing that greater is he who is in us than he that is in this world. Lord, just whatever our comfort zones look like, expose them to us and lead us out of them into this life of faith, into this life of complete and total reliance on you. Just excited for the next great adventure that you have for us. Thank you. You are so very patient with us. Thank you for calling us out and choosing to have us be your representatives on this earth. May we do it well. with confidence and assurance in Christ, who we are seated with in high and heavenly places. And I just bless your children here today, Lord. I thank you for each and every person here. Just bless them, Lord, and just, Holy Spirit, continue to show them how very crazy in love their God is with them. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
You've been listening to a message from Charis New Testament Church. For more information or to contact us, go to www.charisntc.org. And remember, you are deeply loved, highly favored, and destined to reign in Christ Jesus.